Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Siribaradhari Gopi Jana Vallava Siribaradhari Yashodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Siribaradhari Gopi Jana Vallava Siribaradhari Yashodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariprajakacharya Stotra Sutta Sri Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Samstapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariprajak Acharya Astotra Sita Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Haririvo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, The Song of the Bee, Text 64. Shishuka Uvacha.
Shishuka Uvacha.
Ata
Gopi
Anugyapya Yashodam Nandam Eva Cha Gopan Amantriya Dasharho Yasyan Aruruhe Ratam Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Atta gopir anugyapya.
Atta gopir anugyapya.
Yashodam nandameva cha.
Yashodam nandameva cha.
Gopan amantra dasarho. Yasyan aruruhe ratam.
Yasyan aruruhe
ratam. Atta gopir anugyapya.
Atta gopir anugyapya.
Yashodam nandameva cha.
Yashodam nandameva cha.
Gopan amantriya dasarho. Yasyan aruruhe ratam.
Yasyan aruruhe
ratam. Shishuku vacha.
Shishuku vacha.
Atta gopir anugyapya.
Atta gopir anugyapya.
Yashodam nandame vacha.
Yashodam nandame vacha.
Gopan amantriya dasarho. Yasyan aruruhe ratam.
Yasyan aruruhe ratam. Shishuka vacha.
Atta gopir anugyapya.
Yashodam nandame vacha. Ladies. Shri Shuka Vacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Atta, then, Gopi, of the Gopis, Anugyapya, taking permission, Yashodam, of Mother Yashoda, Nandam, King Nanda, Evacha, also, Gopan, of the cowherds, Amantriya, taking leave, Dasharha, Udava, descendant of Dashara.
Yasyan,
being about to leave. Aruruhe, mounted. Ratam, his chariot. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Uddhava, the descendant of Dashara, then took permission to leave from the gopis and from Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. He bade farewell to all the cowherd men and, about to depart, mounted his chariot. Text 65. Tam nirgatam samasadya nanopayanapanaya nandadyo nurukena pravochan ashulochanaha. As Uddhava was about to leave, Nanda and the others approached him bearing various items of worship. With tears in their eyes, they addressed him as follows. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Nanda and the cowherd men did not approach Uddhava as a formality, but rather out of spontaneous affection for a dear friend of Krishna's. Text 66. Manaso vrittayo nasyu Krishna padam bhujashraya vacho bidai inir nam nam kayastat prabhavandishu. Because I will be speaking on this verse, we'll read the synonyms responsively. Manasa, of the minds. Vrittaya, the functions. Na, our. Siu, may they be. Krishna, of Krishna. Pada Ambuja, of the lotus feet. Ashraya, taking shelter. Vacha, our words. Abhidayini, expressing. Nam nam, his names. Kaya, our bodies. Tat, to him. Pravana adishu, engaged in bowing down and so forth. Translation. Nanda and the other cowherds said, may our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. May our words always chant his names. And may our bodies always bow down to him and serve him. Please repeat. Nanda and the other cowherds said, may our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet.
May our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet.
May our words always chant his names.
May our words always chant his names.
And may our bodies always bow down to him.
And may our bodies always bow down to him.
And serve him.
And serve him.
Purport. The residents of Vrindavan were firmly convinced that even if they could not have direct association with their beloved Krishna, they would never be indifferent to him. They were all topmost pure devotees of the Lord. So we are coming to the conclusion of Chapter 47, The Song of the Bee. Lord Krishna had sent Uddhava from Mathura to Vrindavan to deliver his message of consolation to the cowherds, and in particular to the gopis, and especially to Srimati Radharani. But although externally Uddhava came to Vrindavan to deliver Krishna's message and console the residents by speaking with them about Krishna, there was another purpose, which is that Krishna wanted Uddhava to see the super excellent love of the residents of Vrindavan for him. And after spending time with them, Uddhava realized that the love that they have for Krishna is unlike any love of any other devotees. It is the most pure and sublime and ecstatic love of Krishna that exists. And thus, just before leaving, he recited some very beautiful verses in appreciation for the gopis of Vrindavan. I'll just read the translations. Text 58. Uddhava sang, among all persons on earth, these cowherd women alone have actually perfected their embodied lives, for they have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Lord Govinda. Their pure love is hankered after by those who fear material existence, by great sages, and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narrations of the infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as a high-class Brahman, or even as Lord Brahma himself? How amazing it is that these simple women who wander about the forest, seemingly spoiled by improper behavior, have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Still, it is true that the Supreme Lord himself awards his blessings even to an ignorant worshiper, just as the best medicine works even when taken by a person ignorant of its ingredients. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women who are very beautiful according to material estimation? The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members, who are very difficult to give up. And they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. The goddess of fortune herself, along with Lord Brahma and all the other demigods, who are masters of yogic perfection, can worship the lotus feet of Krishna only within their minds. But during the Rasa dance, Lord Krishna placed his lotus feet upon these gopis' breasts, and by embracing those feet, the gopis gave up all distress. I repeatedly offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the women of Nanda Maharaja's cowherd village. When these gopis loudly chant the glories of Sri Krishna, the vibration purifies the three worlds. And after completing those verses in glorification of the gopis, Uddhava prepared to leave, and we came to these verses. One is struck by how exalted the love of the residents for Vrindavan is. But their love is spontaneous. It comes from deep within their hearts and is not impelled by scriptural injunctions. But although their love and attraction for Krishna is spontaneous, out of humility, because they consider themselves to be ordinary human beings, they pray to always remember Krishna and engage in his service, as we just read in text 66. In fact, the symptom of pure love for God is extreme humility. In fact, a scripture says that humility is tantamount to pure love for Krishna. And thus, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherds prayed with words that would be very suitable for us aspiring devotees in the material world. Manasa vritaya nasyu Krishna padambuja. May our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. On Sunday, we had 12-hour kirtan, and His Holiness Giridhari Swami spoke about the difficulties we face in chanting purely. And he asked different members of the audience, what is the basic problem? And different devotees gave different answers, all of which were correct, because we know very well what our problems are when we chant, why our mind is distracted. But in that discussion, no one mentioned the mind, and Giridhari Swami kept saying, more basic, more basic, more basic. And finally he said, the mind. The problem is the mind. The mind is always wandering here and there looking for sense gratification or impersonal speculation. So we pray that our mind may be fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, that our mind may be fixed on the holy names. I asked Her Grace Rukmini Priya Devi Dasi what she thinks when she leads kirtan. She said, first of all, when she begins, she feels very nervous. So she shuts her eyes and tries to pretend or forget that she's in a room filled with people. And then she just tries to hear the holy names. So this is the basic effort of every devotee, to hear the holy names, to fix the mind on the sounds of the holy name. And here the most exalted devotees in existence are praying in the same way that we should be praying. Manasa vritaya nasyu Krishna padambuja. May our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And Vacha Abhidaini Namnam. May our words always chant His names. The residents of Vrindavan were always talking about Krishna. They had no other topic of discussion. When Srimati Radharani was in her mood of jealous anger towards Krishna. And was criticizing him indirectly by criticizing the bee. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave a very beautiful commentary in which he explains, as many commentaries do, what questions the verses are answering. And so Srimati Radharani was criticizing Krishna on so many different grounds, criticizing him for his apparent misbehavior in different incarnations as Vamana Dev. He cheated Bali Maharaj. He asked for only 3 steps of land as a small dwarf-like Brahmin. And then after Bali Maharaj agreed, he expanded himself into a gigantic form, and his 3 steps covered the entire universe. So he cheated him. And even after cheating him, he arrested him and accused him of not fulfilling his promise. And then she criticized him in his incarnation as Lord Rama for killing Vali, not even in a courageous way as a Kshatriya should do, but hiding behind a tree like a coward. So, and then as her ecstatic mood heightened, she said that if Krishna can live without us, we can also live without Krishna. He thinks he can be happy with us, without us, with those ladies in Mathura. We can also be happy without him. But although we can give up Krishna, the association of Krishna, we cannot give up speaking about him. And so the gopis, all the residents of Vrindavan, in fact, every pure devotee, is addicted to Krishna. They cannot live without Krishna, without speaking about Krishna or hearing about Krishna or remembering Krishna. So they cannot give up speaking about Krishna. But still, in their humble mood, they're praying just as we aspiring devotees should pray. Vacha abhidanini namnam. May our words always chant his names. And kaya tat pravana adishu. May our bodies always bow down to him and serve him. So, by these prayers, the residents of Vrindavan show both their exalted love for Krishna and their humility in praying for what they already have, and in praying for qualities that they already have. praying to be engaged in activities that they're already constantly engaged in. So we should follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan and pray to have such absorption in Krishna consciousness. And although the residents of Vrindavan are the most exalted devotees in creation, because of their humility, they appreciate more the devotion and service of others. And they especially appreciated Uddhava because he was such a close friend of Krishna's. And therefore, in the previous verse, it is said, Nanda Adaya Anu Ragena. Anu Rag. Rag means intense affection. Pravochan Ashru Lochana, with tears in their eyes. Because of their love for Krishna, they had intense love for Uddhava, because they recognized Uddhava as an intimate friend of Krishna's. And they were filled with gratitude and appreciation for his visit. And at the same time, they were sorry that he had to leave. But they knew that he had to leave. And Uddhava also was very attached, became very attached to the residents of Vrindavan, the dust of the feet of the residents of Vrindavan, the dust of Sri Vrindavan Dham. But because Krishna was personally present in Mathura, displaying his pastimes, he had to leave. So the residents of Vrindavan, they appreciated Uddhava so much because he reminded them of Krishna. He spoke with them about Krishna. And he was a dear friend of Krishna's. And although they are the most worshipable devotees in existence, they worshipped Uddhava as a dear friend of Krishna's. So when one develops such purity of heart, although one is most exalted, one feels oneself to be ordinary and prays for such benedictions, to always think of Krishna and chant the name of Krishna and render service to Krishna. And one appreciates the service and qualities of other devotees and wants to worship them and serve them. Hare Krishna. Oh, are there any questions or comments? Yes, Mishra Bhagavan Prabhu.
Thank you. When Mukundadat Prabhu was here visiting from Vrindavan, he was saying how even Vrindavan's not this kind of agrarian culture anymore, and that we've all become caught up in the modern civilization. And he said that that Prabhupada predicted the modern civilization would collapse, and he gave us all a lot of doomsday sort of apocalyptic predictions of Western civilization, that it can't sustain itself and we'll have some kind of a disaster or collapse. And we're just wondering how to plan for something like that. It seems like everything we're doing as devotees, from the Vedic planetarium to Mr. Reddy's job at the software factory, everything is dependent on modern civilization going on just like we are. You know, your personal traveler agents and everything that all the devotees are doing besides chanting japa seems dependent on modern civilization not collapsing and everything, you know, the bank system, the market system, everything, all the systems just going on the way they're supposed to.
So what is your question?
My question is that if material civilization has this Western civilization has such a bleak future that it's going to collapse, then how are we going to be able to do all of our services? So, like, you know, devotees, we're all working in modern civilization. We're all the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is being built because of the whole international banking system, selling things and bringing money there. And it seems like all of our service is so dependent on things working, how we can adjust or do service if they didn't work.
Our service is not dependent on modern amenities or technology. If they're there, we can use them. And if they're not there, we can do the same things without them. I mean, all the same things were going on in Vrindavan. Uddhava had a chariot drawn by horses. So he had his conveyance. It's there, so we're using it, but we don't need it. What we do need is to absorb our minds in Krishna, engage our speech in chanting Krishna's name, and engage our bodies in bowing down to Krishna and serving him. Doesn't matter. It's like when Srila Prabhupada first met his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, you know, first, because he was a follower of Mahatma Gandhi's at the time, and he said, first, you know, India should become politically independent. Then people will listen. Otherwise, who will listen to India's message? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur convinced him that you know, political dependence or independence are immaterial. We have to preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether India is politically independent or dependent. So whatever we do, whether there's, you know, gasoline or not, we have to serve and we have to preach. Whether there's a microphone or not. So, yeah, our activities are not at all dependent on, you know, modern amenities or technology. But if it's there and it's favorable for Krishna's service, we can use it. And yet, yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. You were saying earlier that humility is tantamount to pure love of Krishna. C- Could you elaborate on how a neophyte develops humility?
Yes. Well, as with most divine qualities, there are two processes. One is by becoming Krishna conscious, by hearing, chanting, remembering, and in general, following the instructions of the spiritual master. And the other is by practice, by making an effort. Once a devotee asked His Holiness Radhanath Swami how he became so humble. And he said he practiced. That even at first, if you don't feel like being humble, you practice, and eventually the feeling comes. In the beginning, one of the very earliest devotees who was initiated as Garga Muni Das told Srila Prabhupada, I see that the other disciples are bowing down, but I don't feel in my heart like bowing down. And Srila Prabhupada replied, you should bow down anyway, and the feeling will come. So we practice. Prabhu, we address each other as Prabhu, Master. That means I'm your servant. How can I serve you? Srila Prabhupada said that if a devotee asks you, as a rule, if a devotee asks you to do some service, you should accept. And if a devotee offers to render some service to you, you should refuse. So this is practice. And then offenseless chanting and hearing, that cleanses the dust, the dirt from the mirror of the mind. The dirt begins by identifying with the body. You identify with the body, then the whole false ego comes, and wanting to be the master and the controller and the enjoyer. So by chanting, hearing, remembering, serving the spiritual master, serving the mission, that cleanses the heart. And then when the heart is cleansed, then naturally the qualities of the pure soul are revealed, 26 qualities of a devotee. So we do both. We practice to develop the specific quality that we want, and we engage in offenseless chanting and hearing and remembering, serving the mission, preaching, and that cleanses the dirt from the mirror of the mind, and our natural, pure spiritual qualities as parts and parcels of Krishna become manifest.
I just wanted to thank you for the wonderful class. It was amazing. You said the word Krishna 100 times, and it just brought me up to a whole new level of realization about Sri Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So thank you very much. And for myself and everyone else, I'm sure they have the same feeling. So thank you.
Thank you for your taking note of the mention of Krishna's name.
Maharaj, if I may, I'd like to follow up on the question about humility. Could you explain briefly what is the false humility and how this affects a person who practices devotional service in the beginning stages and maybe intermediate stages?
Well, if one genuinely wants to be humble, then he will practice. Because, you know, by practice one develops habits. So we have to practice to give up our bad habits and develop good habits. False humility is a little different. In false humility, one makes a show of being humble, but isn't humble, and isn't trying to be humble, but is just making a show so that people will think he or she is humble. Or it could be So that comes in the category of duplicity. There's simplicity and duplicity. And the scriptures and the acharyas have all said that simplicity is essential for spiritual advancement. Simplicity means that you accept your present position as it is. You don't try to, you're not in denial about your present position, and you don't try to make a show for others to suggest you're in a higher position. And from there, you take whatever measures are necessary to progress. That's simplicity. And duplicity, you yourself may not even recognize where you're at. You're in such a consciousness of making a show that you're so busy sort of trying to fool others, you sort of like fool yourself as well. And then it's very hard to progress. I mean, you can, whatever your condition is, you can, especially by the Association of Pure Devotees. Whatever your anartha is, the Association of Pure Devotees is the best remedy. But, sometimes the culture in a particular place or a particular situation may make it harder to be straightforward. From a certain point of view, it might be easier to make a show. But that, that's an unfortunate situation, and on occasion we might have to do that. But as a rule, you know, we should just try to acknowledge where we are, not fool ourselves or try to fool others, and take appropriate measures according to Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru to genuinely progress. All right, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.